to the old me, scared and unseen. You're the reason I built this dream. Now I speak so others thrive. Turn my scars into sound. I come alive from the ashes of the breakdown. I don't run, I rise, won't back down. This is keep it real, keep it purpose bound. Every word a step, every truth profound. We don't heal in silence, we fight with grace, softness and defiance, lighting up this place.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hello, hello. It's Brooke Devard from Naked Beauty. Join me each week for unfiltered discussion about beauty trends, self-care journeys, wellness tips, and the products we absolutely love and cannot get enough of. If you are a skincare obsessive and you spend 20 plus minutes on your skincare routine, this podcast is for you. Or if you're a newbie at the beginning of your skincare journey, you'll love this podcast as well because we go so much deeper than beauty. I talk to incredible and inspiring people from across industries about their relationship with beauty. You'll also hear from skincare experts. We break down lots of myths in the beauty industry. If this sounds like your thing, search for Naked Beauty on your podcast app and listen along. I hope you'll join us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Edna White, your host of Keeping It Real on Purpose. And we're so glad to have with us today a special guest. And we're going to be talking about some really good stuff. You know, I meet some amazing people here on this show, and I want to bring them here to tell you and to talk to you about things that we often go through that we have to really keep it real, so that we can go to the next level of our lives. And I welcome today none other than Kels Morris Dale to our show.
Hi, thanks for having me, Edna. So good to be here.
I'm so glad that you're here. Loving your shirt. I'm loving you and the vibe of the, you know, it's so boatish, you know, and you're out in the boat. I get that feel, you know, from you, but I love it. Love it, love it, love it. So tell us about you and what you're doing and where you are.
Oh, goodness. So I'm originally from New Zealand. If you've heard the term Kiwis, I actually tend to call myself Kels the Kiwi. It's kind of a nickname for our homeland, Kiwis.
Okay.
So it's funny, Edna, because a Kiwi bird is a flightless bird, yet Kiwis, New Zealanders are all around the world. Like, we travel, we're everywhere.
Everywhere. Everywhere.
Yeah. And I've been living in the US for almost 13 years now. I moved over here with my then husband. He was an American. Okay. And we brought our two girls and four dogs over. It was a big deal.
Oh, Lord, four dogs. Oh, geez.
Yeah. But it was really fun. But some stuff happened in my life. My dad passed away just after we had my son, who was born over here. So he died in 2013 and we got here in 2012. So just over a year after we got here. And that kind of like went me on I call it my awakening. And I actually wrote about it in the book that I co-authored. I've got a book here, Manifesting Magical Moments. And that his passing was like the awakening, but it was also a catalyst for me making a lot of changes in my life. That have had pretty, at times it feels like catastrophic recurrent events, but they've actually been part of
yeah,
as I keep saying, awakening me and making me realize that, yeah, you know, I'm not living my, you know, best life or the best version of my, I'm not being the best version of myself or living the life that I really, really want. So I'll call this, am I allowed to swear a little bit on here, Edna? I'm a Kiwi and we tend to say a few little F-bombs every now and again. Is that all right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, because the chapter in my book is called My Epic Adventures in Unfuckery. So okay, I'm on this adventure to just like unlearn all the negative traits in my life and then kind of relearn what is intuitively the right thing for me. Okay. So it's been a journey. So when my dad passed, I found Reiki, the healing modality, that really mm-hmm. came to me in a strong way. I had no idea about it. I was not woo-woo person at all. Like I was not spiritually minded at all, but it awakened another aspect of me that I really loved that modality. Okay. It connected me with people because I was very a bit of a standoffish person. Like in conversations, I would defer to my then husband. I had no ability to speak for myself, which okay, has completely changed now because I don't shut up ever. And okay, so Reiki came into my life and it was gorgeous because I was able to help myself. I don't like to say heal, but I let it, you know, do these things for me. Mm-hmm. That unlocked my ability to speak to others, to connect with others, to see what I needed to do for my transformation journey and for others to benefit them. Like it was a whole holistic benefit, like mind, mm-hmm. body, soul, like all of it. And it helped my okay, kids. I've got three kids and I taught my girls level one Reiki. So they were able to like self-regulate their emotions and just brought them a little bit closer mm-hmm. to me, which is beautiful as well. So mm-hmm. I went on that journey and so with Reiki, and then I got divorced, which was a huge, huge deal when you're right, living in a different country with no family right, around.
Right.
And that led me on to other things. I had to suddenly get a real job. Ended up going back to sort of a corporate environment after being a Reiki practitioner for a while. And that was such a challenge, but I embraced it. And I got I started off as an executive assistant for a real estate company, a real estate investment okay, company rather, and then became the COO, chief operations officer after a few years. So that was huge. Like for going from married, not the breadwinner, to suddenly taking care of my side of the family, the kids, right, half on, half off, and got to that level. I was able to buy this house that I'm in now. So I did okay, all the things on paper. It looked like I had it, babe, like six figures, doing so well, right, you know, but I wasn't happy. I wasn't doing what was true to myself. So
yeah.
I ended up resigning and went back to my Reiki roots, wanting to be a mentor and help other women, real huge into mental health advocacy, and kind of building my own network and collaborating with people and working on the inline space now. So I've come yeah, because I started off in corporate when I was younger, went into the Reiki, went back into corporate and kind of come around full circle.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And you must do it yourself, Edna, like trusting what is, I mean, you're a life person, a purpose business, you've got conductor there or coach or whatever you want to call it. You right, know that your life purpose is so important. So that's kind of my ethos too. Do what feels yeah, right. Like don't just suffer doing something just because it's for money or the recognition right, or whatever it is, right, you know, right, it has to be what works for you and your family. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's
so well, take us back. I like this. Now take us back to how Reiki really impacted your life. I know you said it was after your dad, but
yeah,
paint a picture of it. Like, what did you do with it, you know, that started to crack the egg open, so as it were?
Okay, so I'll give you an example. Like so my dad had passed away a little while ago. I kept seeing these numbers come up. I didn't really understand angel numbers, if you've heard of them, the recurring yes, numbers. I think people are kind of in tune with that kind of now. And it's kind of fun, like, to see those numbers come up. And I was... So things happen in threes. Threes are like something that must be my intuition guide, if you like.
Right.
So I heard somebody mentioned Reiki to me and I was curious what it was. And then I like, and then I overheard a conversation. So someone actually talked to me about Reiki. I overheard a conversation. Then out of the blue, I got invited to a Reiki retreat for a couple of days to learn level one Reiki. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, let's just do this. And so I had no really idea. I didn't really research ahead of time. I find if I do that, I can get, I at the time I would be disappointed if it didn't meet my expectations, you know, all that kind of thing. So I just went along to it with like just no attachment to it. I had a bloody cold sore, and I'm a shy person, and so me having a cold sore on my lip, I was like, oh god, people are gonna see me.
I think a cold sore for anybody is like, oh god.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, do I still go? But I made arrangements to go with my mother-in-law at the time. So I was like, I didn't like letting people down. That's like my people pleasing personality. So I went along to it. It was way out of town. It was in some like hippieville kind of area, and it was in a teepee, and I was like, what have I got myself into? At this time, like, not really embracing my spirituality at all. Mm-hmm. Like, this was just like weird for me. Like, what have I got myself into? Anyway, they did this whole like meeting each other thing, and everybody was talking about themselves, and I'm like, it goes around in a circle. I'm like, I'm not saying anything about myself. I don't want to talk. This is horrible. How do I get out of here? This feels like doing speech contest at school, and I'm going to be in the spotlight, and it's going to be horrible. Well, when it got around to my turn, something happened. I don't know if the energy, the Reiki healing energy. I know now that my Reiki master teacher, she was infusing the space with the Reiki energy, like life force energy. And I just opened up, and I just went blah, about a whole lot of stuff. And I didn't even know I had it in me. So that literally, as you said, cracked me open, and I became really vulnerable, but got so much great feedback and connection and just love from everybody. And at the end of the day, some lady had like she had some oils and stuff, and made me up a compression, like a little thing for my cold sore. So I got my cold sore disappeared the next day. Like, it was just all this magical shift because I allowed myself to just be vulnerable and accept this beautiful energy. I literally changed my perspective on a lot of stuff in one moment. Like, sharing isn't a bad thing. Like, sharing really can help a lot of other people.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Changed my mindset and realized that I am worthy. I didn't really like myself back then. And if I'm a conduit for this beautiful healing energy, lifeless energy, then like, it's not about me, it's about that, but it's also about being able to show other people that they're actually a beautiful vessel themselves, that they can self-heal, you do all that stuff. So I mean, that's like bonus. And not only does it help other people while I'm giving Reiki, I get the benefits of it as well. So it was just like a win-win-win-win-win, all the wins. And I was like, this is, it just lit me up. It was like the fire got lit in me pretty quickly.
I know that I didn't know what it was. I tell you, I was living in China for about a year, and they practice, you know, they practice the, you know, the warming of the hands, like, so I was working I worked 3 days a week. So, you know, all the teachers would get together. Let's go do massages. Let's go treat ourselves, because we had 10-hour days, you know. So we go on Sundays, and I would, you know, so I indulged in it all. I was like, give me the full treatment, you know. I wanted a massage. I wanted cupping, and I wanted this healing. And I remember the guy doing this, you know, warming his hands, you know, and I just remember that. And I could feel like release, but I knew what it was. It was energy. It was like complete energy. Like, it was just amazing. And it was like, it released the day for me. Like, it was like, yeah, I gotta have that. I gotta have that all the time. You know, the massage is great, but that, you know, that Reiki, it was just so different, and how it just, you know, I wasn't touched, you know, when this happened, you know, hands just gliding over me. And then, and he would say something, well, I couldn't really speak, you know, Mandarin at the time as well, but I would have somebody in there and he would be saying, this is something that's going on here. You explain it, you know, all of that stuff. But one thing I remember him saying, you're free now, because I left New York because there was so much life going on, you know, and had no balance, no work-life balance, none of that. Mm-hmm. I had none of that. And it was just all over the place, you know, just got newly divorced. And I was like, oh my gosh, it was just this whole thing was going on. And for that to happen, it started that change for me, like you did, you know, it started that change. I didn't know what it was, but it started that, you know, and I never equated that change for me there with Reiki and the, you know, and being released until I'm speaking to you right now.
I love that. And it's like a little analogy, like a simple analogy. It's like a car running out of gas. Like the life force energy, you need to top up. You need to fill up with gas in order to go. So you could be stuck or releasing stuff that, like, maybe you've got a bad oil change. Like
it's cleaning
you out holistically, every part of you.
Absolutely.
I love that for you. I love that for you.
I just realized it now as you're talking. How do you now, we're now you're in a different space now, and you know, you have the children, you have the dogs, you have the house, you're in a different, you know, space doing what you love doing. How do you make that balance still? Because I know sometimes for me, even working in what I love, I can overdo it. How do we get back? You know, how do we do that?
Well, I'm lucky, you know, because of my past life, I've done everything. Like, I've done everything, but I was a professional organizer. So for me, scheduling is hugely important.
Yeah.
Really, like, even I have time for my business. I only schedule in 2 full hours for my business in a day, but I do stuff throughout. But so I schedule in dropping the kids off, picking them up, their extracurriculars. Mm-hmm. I schedule in watching a movie with them or cooking dinner and having a catch up. Like, I put all that in. So my schedule can look like a crazy colorful mix, the rainbow, but that keeps me, like, I know that I'm going to fit the kids in as a priority. I never sit, they might be on their phones. Like, luckily my youngest, he's 11, doesn't have a cell phone yet, but we try and put down the phones if we're all together.
Yes.
And I do the same. Like, I'm not one of those, you know, parent, like so many of us that I used to do it too, like scroll and look at stuff. I don't do that now. I've made it boring. Like, I don't even want to do it. Like, ugh, that's boring. Right.
Yeah. I don't do that. I used to do it a lot. Just like to try to catch up on all the goings on, you know, and it really, you start going on too. You start like it starts to kind of muddy the waters as it were.
Yeah. So we do like play things like Monopoly Deal or card games or
place.
So I have that balance. Like, I want things to be fun. I want there to be joy. Like, try and put even like a dance. Like, it's a funny thing I started on my Facebook. It was on Instagram. I just did these little stupid little dance moves that embarrassed my kids. Like, I can't dance. This girl cannot dance at all, but I have fun with it. So I started doing that and people were commenting. So every morning now, I haven't done it today. Every afternoon, we'll say, I do a little dancing and write my little post for the day about
something
unrelated to my dancing, but it brings me joy. It's something funny. One bloody day I forgot to put the sound on, so I just told everybody to hum along and gave them some options for some music to play in the background. I mean, it was like a funny reel. But so I think the balance is there really at times isn't a balance, because some things do need to take priority. Like, my kids are my priority until they leave for college, right?
Yes.
So my business, my connections with other people, everything is scheduled in around them. They're my priority now. But holy heck, when they bugger off to college, Gals is going to be like connecting, working, and doing the things and traveling, and then turning up at their place with my minivan, RV, and park outside their place for 30 days at a time and then go on to the next kid. I don't know. Like, so the balance shifts. Like, it has to. Yeah. For what works for me, for what works for me and my family.
Right.
Yeah. And so me, sorry, one last thing.
Sure.
For me, giving up that corporate world where I had to be in meetings, Zoom meetings all day long.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Oh, it was horrible. And I work from home and I was trapped
behind the door. You were trapped. It's like, yeah, trapped.
So I was like, oh, hi, guys, I'm here, but I'm in a meeting. Love you. Like, heart. How many times could we heart? I don't take meetings when they're at home anymore. I'll take them in the evening if they're doing their homework or something, just because. But I'll always coincide it with them being busy. So that's what's working for me.
Right, that's good. So working with a lot of women, and I know you probably do, from 35 to 50 or so, we are now in that realm. We hate our jobs, and I've seen so many women, stay on jobs that they hated and then become sick. Once they retired or quit, or even during that job, gotten sick and with cancer. And I'm not saying it's, always the case, but they get sick or they're miserable. They don't know what to do. How do you now, you're now an empty nester. I'm an empty nester. When I became an empty nester, I was like, oh my gosh, what do I do? I know for me, I started to try to prioritize myself. But now I'm in a different realm because I am 1 year from being 60. So it's different.
Oh, wow.
And so I'm like, okay, what do I do now? Some of my friends have slowed down, a little bit more, and their life has changed for them. Now I'm this single person. What do I do now? How do we navigate that now with our business? And how do we fulfill having that fun and all of that now? Because I know a lot of my audience would love to know that.
Oh, that's a huge one. And for me, I'm getting older has actually been such a blessing, because you do need to slow down. And I've wanted to slow down naturally. And you're more discerning about what you say yes to and what you want to do. And it's like naturally a progression to prioritize your health. Like it just...
Absolutely.
Because it's not that easy doing stuff unless you're looking after yourself. And I got hit with a melanoma scare. I had melanoma on my shoulder, got a chunk of my arm cut out. And that was kind of like an awakening call, like, oh gosh, like I'm not like infallible. Like something could happen to me. So it put me in this whole mindset of all of it. Like my health became a priority. My wealth became a priority because I wanted generational or legacy wealth in place for my kids. Right. I don't want them to be lazy buggers. I want them to earn their keep, but I also wanted to provide. So it was connecting with the right people, finding a business model that allowed me to do the wellness aspect, which is what I do, and the mental health aspect as well for me is sharing and connecting with people. Like I do. Yeah. I'm part of Oversharers Anonymous. I share a lot about my journey because I feel like it helps people in their own journey not feel alone. I just did a big post yesterday, two days ago, about not having my mum in my life. My choice, I had to let her go for my own health and well-being. Mm-hmm. And so that connection has found other women going through the same stuff and same stage in life, and also sharing about menopause or perimenopause or premenopause, all the pauses, dealing with that. Like just having discussions with people has been huge. And I think it's knowing that you're not alone and that you can be seen at every stage of your life. We're not invisible because we're getting older. We have a voice still, and it's a really powerful voice because people really want to hear about, we know so much, we've gone through so much.
Right.
We have intel, we've been through it. So we can pick you up, give you a hug, give you a ride along with us as we continue on our messed up journey.
It's so messy.
So for me, specifically, I needed to be in alignment with what I did for work that had to be health and wealth focused. And the right connections, because you are who you are surrounded by. And I'm surrounded by a beautiful community, not all women, but a lot of women. And we're just each other's best cheerleaders. But we're also, encouraging and empowering. Like, there's not just, oh, you let it all out, it's okay, share your shit. And
right.
Then,
yeah.
No, it's like
generics.
How to get a better mindset, the training, the education, all of that. You need to keep learning and growing at every stage of your life. And that's so, so important.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Lifelong learners. And one thing I have learned along this way, after living in China and coming home and eating, you know, eating is different for me at this stage because I eat to live. Can't eat like I was 18 or 20 or 30. I got to eat to live. And that's a big transition.
Yeah.
It's a big transition because some things are just not good for you, you know, hormonally for us.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, the biggest thing that I found out, chicken was my downfall. Hormonally, my nutritionist said to me, hey, you know, she's asking me, you know, I'm giving her all the history of what I eat. And that was my favorite thing, is chicken. Everything was chicken. Everything was chicken. Everything. And I said, I'm exercising every day. I'm not losing weight. I'm you know, not sleeping. Mm-hmm. What is going on? And when she saw my dietary log, she was like, it's the chicken. I want to tell you, the antibiotics that they put into the chicken, no matter what, it's affecting you. And I'm going to tell you, the last maybe 6 to 8 months, I've been able to jump out the bed without, you know, muscle pain, anything like that. And I had a horrific accident that, you know, rendered parts of my body limited. And I don't feel that. I mean, I'm back to myself. Like, and I couldn't believe it, that something that small that we would think about intertwining with my own hormones, stopping me from losing weight, making me stay awake at night, things like that. Make hot, you know, I was sweating all the time.
Oh yeah.
It's horrible. But just learning to, you know, eat to live, which is important.
Yeah.
It's really
important. Yeah, I love that. And it can be as simple as one little change. For me, it was my water intake.
Yeah.
The water is so disgusting in a lot of places. Even the bottled water isn't great. So I got onto the Kangen water, which just translates from Japanese into back to origin. So it's a machine that makes the water ionized and
Yeah,
it's a lot of molecular hydration and stuff. So
yes.
it really, like, I didn't drink water. I drank coffee and tea. It has water in it, but I would never drink water because I hated the taste of it. And it always makes you so full. Like, you'd glug it and you'd be like, ugh.
Yeah.
The Kangen water, it's really, the molecular structure is different. And it, so it doesn't make you feel that way. And it's anti-inflammatory. So I don't get... I can't make any medical claims, but I haven't been sick for a long time and I feel so much better. It's better for my skin. It's better for every aspect. So I get you. Like, one little thing, you doing chicken and me changing to this water has improved my quality of life remarkably. So just everybody needs to tweak one little thing. Yeah.
One little thing. Yes. And it's so very important. And with that work-life balance, eating should be in there too. Eating should be in there, because there has to be a balance, you know, because everything, you know, affects your body and long-term, long-term and longevity, it affects it. So it's important to have that in there too and have those little breaks or pauses to, like, you know, just like you reevaluate your marriage or your relationship, and you reevaluate where you are. You know, when every 10 years goes past, hey, what do I need to do different? It's like staying in the 80s, dressing in the 80s, and you're in the 2000s. You know, it's like, I don't know.
I love that reevaluation. And just be in tune with yourself. Like, I wasn't sleeping very well. Like, yourself was hot, like all the hot flashes, all that stuff. Yeah. I'm like, you put up with it because you go to the doctor, they're like, oh, that's so normal. I'm like, that is not normal. That feels so horrible. If that, no, thank you. So I did every, I was at friend who was like, what are you taking? I'll try that.
Yeah.
And I found a magnesium drink thing to take at nighttime. I think it's called Moon Brew. I don't know what it's called, but
magnesium. Yep.
And I have a scoop of that. It's chocolatey. It tastes amazing. No more wine at nighttime. You know, I have my little routine. And I do feel a lot better in the mornings. And in the morning, I take a, I have a tea that I drink that's supposed to be good for menopause symptoms as well. Absolutely. So, I mean, I wouldn't have needed to take that in my 20s. So you need to reevaluate when you're in your 40s, 50s and more. What you need to do to feel good, because we shouldn't suffer. We're not supposed to suffer. Things aren't supposed to be that hard. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it is. It's like literally doing, like they have a biosyn scan when you're doing Reiki, and it's literally just going through yourself. Like, well, where does it feel? Like, is my back sore? Go to the chiropractor. Yes. Okay, am I having chest issues? Go see your doctor about your heart. Like, you should. Stress comes out in a lot of ways.
Right.
And it is good to eat well. Yes. And it's sleep. It's mental health activities. It's meditate. Right. It's all the things. You've got to just figure out what tops you up properly.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
That's really good. If there was one thing that you could take out of everything you know, what would you share with my audience right now, or anything that you kind of culminated from this conversation?
Oh, goodness. I just feel like it wasn't really anything we touched on, but everybody is a beautiful being just as they are. I think we're always trying to do for others. Just come back to yourself and figure out yourself first, because if you're in a good space, you're going to be the best version for everybody else as well, not just you. So keep yourself full of joy. It would be what I would say. Find joy.
That's awesome. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it from Kels herself. This is Edna White and my esteemed guest Kels Morrisdale. We're going to say goodbye for now.
Thank you. Bye.
When you think of skyrocketing brands like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, it's easy to credit their success to great products, sleek branding, and brilliant marketing. But here's the overlooked secret. The real magic lies in the engine behind the scenes, the business powering their business. For millions of brands, that engine is Shopify, making selling seamless for them and shopping effortless for us. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Aloe Yoga uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/retail, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/retail to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/retail.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hello, hello. It's Brooke Devard from Naked Beauty. Join me each week for unfiltered discussion about beauty trends, self-care journeys, wellness tips, and the products we absolutely love and cannot get enough of. If you are a skincare obsessive and you spend 20 plus minutes on your skincare routine, this podcast is for you. Or if you're a newbie at the beginning of your skincare journey, you'll love this podcast as well, because we go so much deeper than beauty. I talk to incredible and inspiring people from across industries about their relationship with beauty. You'll also hear from skincare experts. We break down lots of myths in the beauty industry. If this sounds like your thing, search for Naked Beauty on your podcast app and listen along. I hope you'll join us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
The holidays are about giving something truly special. I'm Martha Stewart, and I believe the best gifts aren't just beautiful. They're useful every single day. Lennox has brought timeless beauty and lasting quality to our tables for generations. And their Lennox Spice Village is the perfect holiday gift for someone you love or for yourself. It's more than a spice rack. It's a charming collection of hand-painted houses that turn ordinary spices into extraordinary experiences. Imagine cinnamon from a tiny Victorian cottage or oregano from a pastel townhouse. Suddenly, a simple meal becomes a moment to savor. Because spices can be more than ingredients. They can inspire memories, warmth, and joy all year long. Give a gift that lasts beyond the holidays. Discover the collection at lennox.com/spicevillage.
We've all done it. Stock our fridge with good intentions, only to sacrifice nutrition for convenience. Keep your body and mind nourished with whole body meal shakes from Kachava. It's got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. But it actually tastes delicious. Try one of Kachava's indulgent flavors today. Shop now through December 2nd to get 30% off your first purchase of 2 or more bags. Go to kachava.com and use code NEWS. That's KACHAVA.com, code NEWS.